The following is an exclusive presentation of the Southwest Georgia Network. Welcome to the High School Football Roundup Podcast, an inside listen on high school football in Southwest Georgia, only on the Southwest Georgia Network. Welcome back in to the High School Football Roundup Podcast on the Southwest Georgia Network. I'm Walter Johnson. So on this week's episode of the High School Football Roundup Podcast, I thought I might change some things up a little bit for episode 8 for the week beginning Monday, September 19th, 2022. And talking primarily about the local teams. By local teams, I'm talking about teams within here in the city of Albany, as well as Daugherty and other surrounding counties in Southwest Georgia. And some a little bit farther away and from Daugherty County and Daugherty County's borders. And lots to talk about this week. And before getting started, quick reminder to follow the Southwest Georgia Network online. Visit the website at southwestgeorgianetwork.com. Also on Twitter at SWGA Network. So listen on Spotify. And also on Anchor and anchor.fm/SWGA Network. Or like the saying goes, wherever you get your podcast. So, and with the promo out of the way, it's time to get started. And right at the top of the show, and talking about the early success of the teams from in Daugherty County in the Albany area, and start with the Daugherty Trojans, the team east of the Flint River in East Albany, and the Trojans remained undefeated with a 46-6 win over the Terrell County Green Waves up in Dawson. And I think for a change, I mean, it was nice for Daugherty to not only win, but also, you know, win convincingly, and they leave no doubt as to who the not best team on the field was this past Friday night. And so Daugherty goes to 5-0 on the season with that win over Terrell County, at Terrell County. And Jacob Stallworth had 12 carries for 131 yards, scored 4 touchdowns, and quarterback Cameron Davis, Cameron starting with a K, and had a usual strong performance, passing for 244 yards and 4 touchdowns. And Larry Lane was an unlikely hero for Daugherty as well, catching 7 passes for 107 yards. So Daugherty will get a well-deserved week off this week and will return to action on Friday, September 30th, hosting the Crisp County Cougars to open Region 1 AAA play. And seeing another team another team from within the Daugherty County school system, and that one big was Monroe, another team that from the Daugherty County school system that won big in week 5 was Monroe, and the Monroe Golden Tornadoes just absolutely rolled their way over the Randolph Clay Red Devils from Cuthbert, Georgia. Final score 62-6. And Monroe goes to 4-1 on the season. And with their only loss coming to the Cairo Syrup Makers. And the 62 points that Monroe scored against Randolph Clay, it has to be a school record. And even I think even the most
loyal fan of Monroe, and probably can't remember the last time their Golden Tornadoes scored as many points as they did against Randolph Clay. I mean, and it's just absolutely incredible and unbelievable that Monroe would score all those points. Score 62 points they did. And the Tornadoes have this week off, and then they'll be back in action on Thursday, September 29th. And that's when they'll open Region 1 AAA action, hosting the Thomasville Bulldogs. And in Thomasville, the Thomasville Bulldogs got only their second win of the season against three losses as they took down the still winless Tiff County Blue Devils. 28-7 was the final score. And I think if, yes, I mean, and the season's not even half over yet. But I think if there was any team from our area, the Southwest Georgia Network coverage area, that's been a disappointment so far this season, it has to be Tiff County. And the Blue Devils, after all, dropped down from Class 7A to Class 6A this season. I was hoping Tiff County would win at least one game amongst the tough schedule, but obviously that has not been the case. I mean, and not only has Tiff County not won a game this season at 0-4, I mean they've and they struggled. I mean, they haven't even been competitive. In any of those four games, lost 55-7 to Coffee, 33-7 to Dutchtown, and then 41-13 to Colquitt County. And then throw in the most recent loss on September 16th, 28-7 to the Tiff County Blue Devil, to the Thomasville Bulldogs, I should say. Tiff County just 55-7. Tiff County lost to Coffee on August 19th, 33-7 to Dutchtown on the 26th of August, and 41-13 to Colquitt County. That was on September 2nd, and there after the bye week, they lost to Thomasville. And speaking of the Bulldogs, they'll head to Monroe on Thursday, September 29th, not Friday, September 30th, to face the Monroe Tornadoes to open Region 1 AAA play. I think, you know, Region 1 AAA, I think, that's going to be a tough region. And for all that success that both Daugherty and Monroe have had, all the success that Daugherty and Monroe have had so far, I mean, they still have to get into region play. I mean, that region is not going to be easy, that's for sure. And despite the fact that you got Daugherty and Monroe are two out of the four teams that have winning records so far in 2022. And Crisp County sitting at 3-1, and Carver of Columbus at 2-1. And Carver Columbus fell from being number two in the state to all the way out of the polls after all the way out of the rankings, after getting carved up by Northeast Macon in Macon 26-8. And the Tigers return to action this week, hosting Hapeville Charter out of the Atlanta area. And seeing Hapeville is a winless, and Hapeville's yet to win a game. I think their two of their losses will come to Lee County and Daugherty. So two of Hapeville's four or five losses so far have come against the two Trojan teams from here in the Albany area, in Lee County and Daugherty, respectively. And more on Lee County in just a moment. And how about the third team from the Daugherty County school system, and the Westover Patriots. And Westover finally wins a close game as they held off the Turner County Titans over in Ashburn, Georgia. Final score of 35-30. Westover wins over Turner County. So with the win, Westover goes to 2-3 on the season. And obviously a huge confidence builder for this Westover team. Huge confidence builder for Westover. And Westover's one of two teams that now sits at 2-3 on this 2022 season. As number one, we approach the halfway point of this regular season. Number two, most teams are finally getting around or finishing off non-region play and getting into region play, getting into the most important part of the season. And the Patriots are back in action, hosting another team of Patriots in north side of Columbus. And they play on play this Friday, September 23rd. There's Westover. So Westover finally won a close game. And seeing the Patriots had the lead over Daugherty in their opener on August 19th. But eventually lost 20-21 and had a similar situation at Sumter County where they lost by 5 points, 26-21. And then the first of the Patriots' two wins came on September 1st. And they crushed Spencer of Columbus 45-10. And the Patriots scored five touchdowns on defense. And so it was the defense that made most of the scoring in that win over Spencer. And next up on Friday, September 9th, the Monroe Tornadoes. And another defensive struggle. The Patriots fell 5 points short, 12-7, the final score. And the Tornadoes handing the Patriots another agonizing loss. And then the Turner County game, which the Patriots won 35-30. So, and the Westover Patriots have lost all three of their games by a combined total of 17 points. 7 point loss to Daugherty, 5 point loss to Sumter County, and a 5 point loss to Monroe. So Westover's been in a lot of games, and been in those three games that they lost, they just haven't been unable to finish. So the Patriots will look to get the 500 for the first time all season, only all season, maybe the first time in quite some time, when they host Northside of Columbus this week. And Northside comes in at 3-1 on the year, 4-1 on the year. So, this And then Westover may not be. Westover, I think, the only team currently within Daugherty County or in Albany city limits that we cover that currently has a losing record. You know, but still, I mean, the Patriots have pretty much been in every game. The Westover's pretty much been in every game they played so far. So, and then obviously, and getting another win over north side of Columbus to close out non-region play, I think that would be a tremendous momentum booster going into region play starting on October 7th, traveling to Bainbridge to face the Bearcats. So, and obviously I've talked about Daugherty getting a big win, and the other Trojan team in the Metro Albany area, the Lee County Trojans, got themselves a big win as well. And the Trojans bounced back quite nicely after the loss to Colquitt County the previous week. And they rolled past Lake Gibson of Lakeland, Florida, final score 51-0. And Lee County led 41-0 at halftime with Osmani Karma scoring 4 touchdowns, while J.D. Fugerson scored 2. And quarterback Chris Martin threw 3 touchdown passes, while Braxton Hooner, H-O-N-E-R, had 112 yards from scrimmage. So a lot of heroes for this Lee County team. And that's the big way. And the way you respond to a big loss, the way you respond to a tough loss like Lee County suffered against Colquitt County on September 9th, is by getting a big win. And, you know, Lee County Trojans did just that. And their head coach, Dean Fabrizio, winning 51-0 over Lake Gibson. And looking at some other scores from week 5, I'm going to go through those. Go through some of those as fast as I can. Start with one of the top games in the state from week 5, taking place down in Quitman, Georgia. And the Brooks County Trojans outlasted the Bainbridge Bearcats 26-18. And the Bearcats, with a loss, fell to 2-3 on the season, and yet the Bearcats still remain at number 9 in Class 4A, even that loss. And Cam Sanders and Bo Smith both can finish a combined 16 out of 26 passing, 168 yards. However, the thing that cost Bainbridge the game against Brooks County was in the rushing department. That's the main thing that cost Bainbridge against Brooks County. And the Bearcats were held to minus 1 yard rushing. And it seems like Brooks County's defense had a solid performance. And Bainbridge, as mentioned earlier, fell to 2-3 on the season with the loss. And obviously it doesn't get any easier as they finish non-region play on the road, making an even longer trip east along US Highway 84 to face the Ware County Gators in Waycross, Georgia. So one last non-region contest for Bainbridge before they jump right into the region play. And as for the Brooks County Trojans, Jamal Sanders rushed for 113 yards and a touchdown, threw a touchdown pass, and returned the Pirate 99 yards for a score in the final seconds of the first half for a 19-7 lead. Chris Cole rushed for 87 yards. So Brooks County's off this week, and they'll be back in action on September 30th for a home game against Pike Liberal Arts out of Alabama. And elsewhere around the area, you got Cairo over Pelham, 27-14. And the Class 4A Syrup Makers found themselves in a tight battle against the Class Single A Division 1 Hornets. And then it was a back and forth game, and the Syrup Makers led 20-14. And going into the final minutes and seconds of that contest, and then Syrup Makers tacked on another touchdown to make the final score 27-14 in their favor. So Cairo goes to 3-2 on the season with the win over Pelham. And the Syrup Makers are currently the only team in Region 1 4A that has a winning record, sitting at 3-2 on the season. And elsewhere in Donaldsonville, Georgia, Seminole County lost to Carroll out of Ozark, Alabama, near Dothan. Final score 33-3. So the Seminole squad really and truly took it on the chin against this Carroll squad from Alabama, Ozark, Alabama, located slightly west-northwest of Dothan. It was in northwest of Dothan. And never really been that far west or far deep into Alabama. But in any case, I mean, Seminole County, unfortunately, and just got squished by Carroll, losing 33-3. And I'm going to go ahead and move right along here. Look at some other scores here from evolving teams from our area or near there. And how about Clinch County bouncing back from a tough loss to Cook? And crushing Bacon County 55-13. And Clinch ranked number 2 in region, ranked number 2 in Class A, Single A Division 2 with the win, going to 4-1 on the season. And early also got Early County getting the win over Bankington 40-6. And Early County with the win not only goes to 5-0 overall, but they're 4-0 in Region 1 Single A Division 2. Eddie Stapleton rushed for over 100 yards and a touchdown on 10 carries. And Tadaro Steele had 106 yards and 9 carries. Stapleton rushed for 107 yards and a touchdown on 10 carries. And Tadaro Steele rushed for another 106 yards and 9 carries. And then Kendarius Boyd had 91 yards and 2 touchdowns and 2 carries. And Early County, all of Early County starters were pulled from the game late in the first half. I think that just proves just how convincing a victory it was for the Bobcats, the Early County Bobcats, going to 5-0 overall. And 4-0 in Region 1 Single A Division 2. So the Bobcats have one more non-region game. Bobcats have two more non-region games. And the Bobcats go to Mitchell County this week, and then Randolph Clay the week after that, and then I think Early County goes to Randolph Clay after the bye on October 7th, and then they got back-to-back home games against Brooks County in Eufaula, Alabama, on October 14th and 21st, respectively, and then go to Irwin County to finish off the regular season. October 28th. So, way things are going, Early County could have the Region 1 Single A Division 2 title wrapped up before the middle of October. And so, which is an amazing of itself, And Early County was scheduled to be in Region 1 Single A, and Early County was originally placed in Region 1 Single A Division 1, along with Brooks County, Irwin County, and Pelham, and Bacon County, all the way in Southeast Georgia. But they successfully appealed, but the Early County officials successfully appealed to the Georgia High School Association Executive Committee, and as a result, and Early County ended up playing in Region 1 Single A Division 2 instead of 1 Single A Division 1. So that's why the Bobcats are getting that region schedule out of the way early before getting into the non-region games to finish the regular season. Okay, let's quickly go through some other scores from elsewhere around the area. Irwin County outlasted Rockmart 28-14 up in Rockmart, Georgia, in the northwest corner of the state. So Irwin County, with the win, goes to 3-1 on the season. And also, already mentioned Monroe over Randolph Clay 62-6. And in Middle Georgia, Perry over Peach County 35-7. And Perry's playing some good football up in the Houston County or Greater Warner Robins region up in Middle Georgia, just south of Macon. Ranked for third in the state. And Perry goes to 3-1 in the season. And will face Perry this weekend. Face Crutch and face Howard. Perry will face Howard and Macon this weekend. And in a GISA versus, I made that a GIAA versus GHSA matchup, it was Terrell Academy all over Patola Charter, 42-8, the final score, and the GIAA Eagles from Dawson, and crushing the Class Single A Division II Panthers from Edison in Calhoun County, 42-8, and Valdosta, 56-0 winner over Coral Glades of Florida. Not to be confused with Coral Gables, Florida. Either way, and Valdosta gets the easy win. And Lowndes losing to East Coweta, 49-34. And the Vikings fall to 2-2 on the season under new head coach Zach Grage, who came to Lowndes after being at Thomasville for the past 2 years. And some GIAA scores. And Georgia Christian needed overtime to beat Osceola Christian from Florida, 19-13. And Valwood was a winner, 40-28 over Robert Toombs Academy. And Wilcox County, and another GHSA school competing in Class Single A Division II, rolled past Tift Area Academy, and it was Tift Area, the GIAA school from Tift County, losing by 24 points to Wilcox County, the GHSA school. So, and how about a quick look at the quick look at some of the, this week's games. Starting right at the top in the GHSA, Atkinson County. Let's see, how about in some of the local teams. And the Westover Patriots, as mentioned earlier, will host Northside of Columbus in the Battle of the Patriots this coming Friday, September 23rd. And Worth County Rams are at home against Berrien. And Seminole County looking to bounce back after losing to Carroll, Alabama, hosting Atkinson County from Pearson, Georgia. And so the Atkinson County in the southeastern corner of the state in Region 2, Single A Division 2, making a long trip down to Donaldsonville, Georgia to face Seminole County. And elsewhere, you got Bleckley County at Pelham. I mean, it doesn't get any easier for this Hornets team facing a solid Bleckley County team. Also, got Cook. And Cook hits the road to open Region 1AA play against Jeff Davis. Let's see, you know, in Worth County, you know, I mentioned it earlier, hosting Berrien in Worth County is 4-0. And they'll look to start 5-0 overall for the first time in a long time. And also got a good Cook team that's 3-1, traveling to Hazelhurst, Georgia to face Jeff Davis. And the Crisp County Cougars head up into McCall Talbot Stadium to face Northside of Warner Robins. And Fitzgerald, back from its bye week, hosting Dodge County. Early County's at Mitchell County, as already mentioned. And the Tift County Blue Devils at the Women 4 host Gadsden County. So it'll be interesting to see if the Blue Devils can finally get in that win column. And Valdosta at home against McEachern. And the Wildcats under head coach Shelton Fulton. And we'll try to get the 6-0 in Irwin County at home against Metter. Looking to move to 4-1. I already mentioned Northside of Columbus at Westover of Albany at Hugh Mills Stadium. Cairo Surfmakers looking to end non-region play on a winning note, hosting Salem. And Thomas County Central at 4-0 on the season will cross the state line into Florida for the second time in 3 weeks, facing Godby out of Tallahassee. Turner County will head up the road along either I-75 or US Highway 41, whatever highway the Titans use to get up there to face the Dooley County Bobcats. That game will be played in Atlanta, Georgia. And how about Warner Robins in Houston County? And it's been a rough go of it for the two-time back-to-back defending Class 5A state champions. Just winning 3 on the season, including a loss to Lee County, as well as to Valdosta, and the Demons' most recent loss came this past Friday, losing 14-7 to Dutchtown, and doesn't get any easier facing the Houston County team that's 4-0. And also, you had, I think we already mentioned the Perry Panthers, hosting Howard out of Macon, seeing Howard's 4-0, undefeated on the season. And wrapping things up quickly, Wilcox County at Terrell County. And in GISA play, Deerfield Windsor is back in action after a bye week hosting Terrell Academy. You see elsewhere, Southwest Georgia Academy or SGA traveling to Pinehurst, Georgia and Dewey County to face Fullington Academy. Bellwood at home against North Florida Christian of Tallahassee. And I think, and Brookwood of Thomasville will host John Milledge out of Milledgeville. So that's going to do it for this episode of the High School Football Roundup Podcast. See, gone over 35 minutes. And once again, a reminder to visit the Southwest Georgia Network website at southwestgeorgianetwork.com. Follow on Twitter at SWJ Network for any tweets, retweets of high school football action and other news, sports and non-sports related in Southwest Georgia and even beyond sometimes. And also listen to this and previous episodes of the High School Football Roundup Podcast on Spotify at Spotify.com and on Anchor at anchor.fm/SWJ Network or wherever you get your podcast. I'm Walter Johnson saying thanks for listening. Have a good week. May the best in your favorite team win. Stay safe. God bless you and goodbye.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Southwest Georgia Network. The Southwest Georgia Network is online at southwestgeorgianetwork.com and on Twitter at SWGA Network. Thanks for listening.